resurgence, and today we're going to talk about unity. We're going to talk about unity in the body. In order to move forward in the kingdom, the people of God must be unified in their mission, right? And so on that very first Pentecost Sunday, the disciples, they were all together, and they were in a room where Jesus had instructed them to wait. And as they were waiting, this wind, this sound came like the blowing of a violent wind from heaven. And things that were like tongues of fire came down and rested on each person in the room. And this is happening. As this is happening, the people in the room, they began to prophesy. And those present in the room, they were amazed that each of them was hearing the wonders of God in their own language. So I was thinking about that. And I can't even imagine what it might be like to be in that room, hearing all of these people begin to speak in languages that other people could understand, each hearing the word, the wonders of the Lord in their own language. I imagine that must have been so amazing to hear, you know, one is saying something maybe I don't understand, but another is, but all of us are in the room hearing the exact same thing, but in a way in which we can understand it. And so I just can't even imagine what that would be like. And so the people that were there, they went to the place that Jesus had told them to go, and they stayed there and they waited. They didn't try to come up with their own plan. They didn't try to say, okay, Jesus said this, and now we don't want to wait anymore, so we want to make it happen, right? No, they went and they waited in obedience. And as a result of that, waiting on the Lord, he was faithful to keep his promises to them. So while they were all speaking in a different language, they were all saying the exact same thing, and they were speaking of the wonder of the Lord. This is unity, right? This is unity. Unity in the church comes from followers of Jesus, following him in obedience, and then waiting upon him. So many times in our churches, we see people going their own way, right? They are trying to make things happen because they want to see this movement of the Lord. And so they start to say, hey, I don't know if I want to wait and do that thing that I was instructed to do, because if I just do this, maybe it'll happen quicker. Maybe I'll begin to see the movement of God if I kind of say, you know what, let's try it this way. And we might be doing good things, right? We've talked about this. What's happening across the USA and Canada is not the result of people being purposefully disobedient, although that may be the case in some places. But really what's happening is that people, they haven't realized maybe that the things that they have been doing are not maybe what God has wanted us to do. Maybe we have been really busy doing great things, good things, in hopes that we would grow our numbers numerically, that we would see more bodies in the pews, because we think if we see more people here in this place, certainly they will come to know Jesus. Certainly if we do this program or do this thing, certainly people will come to know Jesus. And while that can be true, that's not always the way that God desires us to do it, right? We don't need to make things happen for him. He chooses to use us in his mission, but he doesn't need us for his movement to happen. He chooses to use us in it. And so this morning, our focus and our unified goal should be that the kingdom would grow radically. Not just that we would see people coming to our churches and these buildings busting at the seams, but that we would see the kingdom of God be busting at the seams. That we would begin to see people come to know Jesus and worship him wholeheartedly, no matter where they end up doing that, right? Whether it's here, whether it's somewhere else, whether it's in a coffee shop down the street, our goal should be that people would come to know the fullness of knowing Jesus, that people would begin to experience the filling of the Holy Spirit in ways that happened on the day of Pentecost. And so this morning we're going to be in Ephesians, and in this letter to the church from Paul, he's speaking about a lot of things. However, in this portion of the letter that we will be focusing on, he's speaking to them about unity and maturity in the body. And so we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 4, and originally I had planned to only focus on a very short part of this passage, which we still will, but I think it's important for us to truly understand what is being said here in this letter, that I would go ahead and read to you verses 1 to 16. Now, behind me, just a few verses are going to pop up. So if you're thinking, oh my goodness, what in the world is she doing? I'm going to read a little bit more than you see. So eventually, this will catch up to me, okay? So Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 to 16. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of God. There will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every kind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning and we already can feel your presence here. We know that you have words for us, that you have a call for us this morning. And God, we would ask that we would hear it, that we would have open hearts and open ears, ready and willing to hear what it is that you would have to say. God, I ask this morning that these words would be yours and not mine. Paul, he starts out in chapter 4 saying, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received, right? We have received a calling. We have been called and commissioned. We talked about this last week. We have been called and commissioned to share the story of Jesus. That's what our job here is on earth, right? We are here. We have a very simple purpose. And over hundreds and thousands of years, many scholars have debated the purpose of life. And we know it. We don't have to debate it. We know our purpose for life, right, is to love God and love others. And we know to do that, we need to be people who are sharing the story of Jesus. This is what we have been commissioned to do. This is a very, very important call. It's the most important and wonderful thing we will ever do in our life. But the truth of the matter is, we are not on our own worthy to do it, right? We are not worthy to fulfill this call, but thanks be to God that he asks us to do it and he allows us to do it. He allows us to fill this most precious calling on our life and to love others the way that he loves them. And we've been entrusted with this message. And so God, he pours out his grace and his mercy upon us, and he invites us to be part of his family, and he invites us to take his mission in the world. And we have to take this call so, so seriously. And so when we read here in the beginning of chapter 4, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received, we might think, what does that mean? How do I live a life worthy of the calling received if I myself am not worthy, right? How do I do this? And so Paul, and Jesus also, you know, Paul learned this from Jesus, but Paul shares this in this message, and he says, hey, you need to be humble and gentle people. You need to be a humble and gentle people. If we are going to be people worthy of the call, we can't be out there in our pride saying, look at me, look what I can do, look how worthy I can be for the Lord. No, we have to be humble and we have to be gentle in our call. We have to be sharing the story of Jesus out of our love for others. We have to have patience, right? We can't be out there being like, hey, I told you about Jesus. Now, why don't you accept him, right? Why aren't you doing what I'm doing? Why don't you know this to be true? We have to be patient people. We have to be humble. We have to be gentle. We have to be patient. We're planting seeds. We're watering seeds. We might not get to see them grow or sprout, right? But we need to be patient. We also have to do everything in love. Everything we do must be in love. Bob Goff, he wrote this book, and it's called Love Does. And then he wrote another book, and it's called Everybody Always. And it's how we need to love all people all the time. And that could seem like a pretty difficult task on our own, right? It can be difficult to love all people at all times. But if we are connected to Jesus, if we are connected to the Father, and we are becoming people who find our identity in him, and we begin to look like him, we are going to love everybody always. Because we will be doing it out of the outflow of the love that Jesus has placed in our life. Everything we do must be done in love. That is how Jesus did it. He was our example, right? Jesus, he shared the truth of the gospel with a sense of urgency. He did. And Jesus, he called things out that needed to be called out. And while Jesus was loving and gentle and humble, he wasn't always subtle, right? And Jesus, in love, did discipline. And Jesus, in love, did call people to correction and change. But as with Jesus as our example, we need to begin to go the places that Jesus would go so that we can love people in the way that he did. And so everything we do is done in love. And like I said, the truth of the gospel, Jesus shared it with a sense of urgency, right? But he was patient with people. Although he shared his message so urgently, he shared, hey, I want you to know this truth. He was patient. And how was he patient, right? We talked last week about doing life with people. Jesus did life with people. So while he said, hey, I'm gonna share this story with you, I'm gonna share this truth with you, now I'm going to live into that truth with you. I'm going to live into that story with you, and I'm going to be your example. And you know what? You can ask me questions, and we can discuss, and we can begin to grow together. And this, as believers, how we begin to share the truth of the gospel with the same urgency as Jesus, but doing it in love, coming alongside people and saying, hey, this is what Jesus can do. Now, look how he does it. Watch how he does it. Watch how it becomes to be a practice in my life. Jesus, he walked alongside people, correcting and teaching. He continuously offered grace. Right? He didn't come as a conquering king, but as a humble man. And Paul, he goes on to say in his letter that it is important that we keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Paul is sharing the people in his letter that we are all one in Christ Jesus, that Jesus is the unifying factor. So we can't just find unity with one another on our own, can we? We can't just be a unified people always getting along if we're doing it in our own strength, because the truth of the matter is that is going to cause a problem eventually. Because what's going to happen? We're going to be looking for someone to be in charge, right? Or someone is going to be looking to be in charge, right? And so when that happens, when we look for one person or a person looks to be in charge and we take our eyes off Jesus, we lose that unity. And the truth is that we can only be in unity with one another if we are first in unity with the Father. If we are first in unity with him and relying on him as the unifying factor, we have to keep our eyes fixed upon Jesus, and we need to be seeking his will in his well way, because that is the only way that we will all be moving in the same direction with the same purpose. We're not going to be self-seeking, right? If we have our eyes fixed on Jesus, and we are unified in him, and we are not leaning on our own understanding, but rather leaning on his, we are not going to be self-seeking people, because we are going to be seeking Jesus. We are going to be focused on Jesus. We're going to be seeing what he is doing. And so this is important, that we keep our eyes fixed to his way and his will and move in the same direction. We're not, Jesus didn't commission us to an individual mission. right? He didn't say, okay, this disciple is going to have this mission, and this one is going to have this mission, and you're going to have this mission. No, he didn't do that. He commissioned us all to the same thing, right? He commissioned us all to share the story of Jesus to the ends of the earth. He commissioned all of us to be disciples who make disciples. And so to share the story of Jesus with the ends of the earth, that is our job. And when we do that, we recognize there is one God, right? One God who is over everything. He is in everything. And Paul also writes, there is one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. The body of Christ is one. And that is a very powerful statement. I was thinking about this as I read that, and I thought, as I began to read that, I began to think about all of the different denominations that we have across the world. And I began to think about all of the different theological truths that we know. And then I began to think about the things that we argue about and the things that we find so important and we cling so tightly to. And I thought about that and I thought, you know, I don't always think that when people are doing those things that it's a negative thing. We cling so tightly to these things because they were formational for us in our faith, right? Some of these things that we know to be true in our faith are what helped us to come to know Jesus. And they came from good and loving and wonderful people. But sometimes we've made an idol of these things. We've clung so tightly to our beliefs on the sacraments, right? And the way that they're administered or the way that we partake of them or we share them with others. And we have almost made that like our focus when really the focus should be Jesus. And so because sometimes, even inadvertently, we have made that our focus, we have caused division. We have caused there to not be unity in the body of Christ because we have become fixated on theology rather than following after Jesus. I can say this because, you know, in my family, we have three different denominations. My one grandfather, who has since went to be with Jesus, Church of God Anderson. My other grandfather is Baptist, and my dad, Nazarene preacher. So you can only imagine, after Thanksgiving dinner, the kind of conversations that I have been privy to, right? Now, these are all loving, loving men who are really out there sharing the gospel of Jesus with people. And most times, those arguments were joking, right? Like, hey, you can't baptize like that, or you can't do this like this. Joking about theology. But the truth of the matter is, some people are not, you know, arguing theology in that way, but it's become an idol. And we have to be so careful as the church, as the body of Christ, that we don't become so focused on our denominational truths that we forget why we're in this in the first place. We are in this in the first place to share the truth of the gospel, the story of Jesus with a world that needs it. And at the end of the day, I hope I don't offend anyone, but at the end of the day, if our theological foundation as far as, and not what we believe about salvation and not those things, but if those beliefs have become more important to us than the story of Jesus, we're in a major need of repentance, right? We are in a major need of a repentance as the church, as the body of Christ. We need to make sure that Jesus is our focus, and that is where our eyes are fixed, and that we're following after him. And I'm going to tell you right now, if that's what we're doing, and that's what the church down the street is doing, hey, we're all on the same journey, and we are all on the same mission, and we've got to be supporting and lifting each other up in this, because guess what? It's the only way that we're going to be able to reach everyone for Jesus. It's the only way that we're going to be disciples that make disciples. It's the only way that we're going to see kingdom growth the way in which they did in the New Testament church. It's the only way to see true unity is that we all band together as believers, regardless of denomination, right? If a church is lifting up the name of Jesus and they believe in the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and that is the name that is being worshiped and praised, hey, we're on the same team. And we've got to work together. And we have to be a unified people, ready and willing to work together. And I'm going to tell you right now, if I get the opportunity to tell someone about Jesus and they go down to the church down the street and then they're telling people about Jesus and they go to another one, I count it as a win. I count it as a win because guess what? They are now part of the kingdom of God, and that is what we are here to do. That is our mission, and that is our goal, and that is what unifies us, is preaching the gospel so that it spreads to the ends of the earth. So Paul, he goes on to say in verse 11 that Jesus gave the church apostles, teachers, preachers, evangelists, and pastors to equip the people for works of service. Did you hear that? He gave the church the teachers, the preachers, the evangelists, and the pastors and the apostles to equip the people for works of service so that the body of Christ might be built up. Now, he didn't say, I gave you these people so they can do all the work while the rest of you just show up. No, that is not what he said. He said, God gave us these people. He has put these people in place to shepherd us, to teach us, to equip us, and show us how to serve. Now, there are many leaders within churches across the world, right? And they have an important job to do. It is a heavy calling. It is a heavy calling to have a position of leadership in that way, because you are called to equip the people for works of service. There's a helpful distinction that's made. Leaders of the church, like I said, they're not placed in their positions to be of service to those that are in the pews. They are placed to be teachers and leaders, teaching and showing people how to be Christ to the world. And so we have to pay attention to that, and we have to think, ooh, am I doing my job in service to the church? Am I doing acts of service for the kingdom? And the problem is, across at least the USA and Canada, what we're seeing is that people are coming to church to worship the Lord. They are. They are coming to church to worship the Lord, and they love Him, and they are faithful to prayer, right? Saints of the church that are faithful to prayer, faithful to giving, faithful to the work of the church, but the church building. And sometimes I think we have confused being servants for the church with being servants to the church building and the local body, and we've forgotten that we are to be servants to the church, capital C, the body of Christ. We are to be sent people out in the world doing the work that God has called us to do. And so this kind of work isn't just for pastors, it isn't just for missionaries, it's not just for teachers, it's not just for evangelists, but it is for all of us, is what God has called us all to do. I may have shared this quote with you before, but Dr. James Deal, I love him. He was a general superintendent in the Church of the Nazarene. I've spent quite a bit of time with him, and he made this statement one time in a sermon. I wrote it down, I've written it a lot of places, and he said, you weren't saved to sit, right? You weren't saved to sit. You didn't come to know Jesus to stay in a church pew, right? You came to know Jesus so that you could share this story with the world who needs it. You came to know Jesus so that He could change and transform your life so that you might begin to look more like Him. You didn't just come to Jesus to go to heaven, although that's wonderful, and it's going to be awesome, and the new heaven and the new earth are something we can't even begin to imagine, but that's not the only reason that we came to Jesus, right? We came to Jesus as new creations, and then it's our job to share that story with people who need to hear it. Christ desires unity in His church. That's what He wants. He wants us to be working together for the mission of the gospel and in love with one goal and one mission. And this can be done because as followers of Jesus, if we would simply fix our eyes on Him and follow after Him, that's what's going to happen. When we fix our eyes on Jesus and we begin to go the places that He is going, do the things that He is doing, interact with the people that He is interacting with, there will be unity in the body as believers if we follow Him in this way. You know, the Lord's Prayer says, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It doesn't say, you know, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done later on when life is over. No, He says, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It means that we can live the kingdom life now. We can live full and abundant lives now, the way that Christ intended things to be. We can live the way that God had always intended it, right? In complete relationship with Him and in complete relationship with one another. You know, I don't think what has happened in the church in the USA and Canada was intentional. I don't think that people sat out to have declining churches. That's not my desire. I know that it's none of the desires of the people that are here in this room. I would hope that's not the desire of those that are watching online. No, it's our desire that people would have this hope that we have, right? It's our desire that people would come to know Jesus and to love coming to this place in the same way that we do. And I think there are a lot of wonderful men and women that are attending our churches who love the Lord. Like I said earlier, these are people that are faithful to prayer. They are faithful to give, faithful to support and love their pastors. People that are praying for their pastors, that love their pastors, that are praying for others, that love others. Faithful to love and support their fellow church members, right? Faithful, loving people who want to be obedient to the Lord. But what has happened is that we have become so faithful to our churches in an effort to be faithful to the Lord that we have neglected our call to make disciples of all the nations. We were so busy being loyal and faithful to the work of the church that we weren't as intentional as we should have been in our mission. So I want you to think about something for a minute. Think about your circle of friends, the people that you spend time with. Think about that. And now I want you to know that I'm not saying that any of us are doing this, right? I'm just saying that some of us have fallen into this at some point in our life. So if you think about your circle of friends and you think, is everybody in that circle a believer? Is everyone I'm spending time with someone that I've met at church? Sometimes. If we've been a Christian for a long time, that happens, right? It happens, and that's not a bad thing. That's a beautiful and wonderful thing that over time you have looked around and you said, everyone in my life is a believer. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that wonderful? But what happens is we can't stop there. When our circle starts to look, you know, a lot like us, we've got to get into some new circles. We have to find some more circles because that is our job, right? It's great that we have found our family in the church because I'm here to tell you there is no family like the family that I have found in the church. And I'll say especially the Church of the Nazarene. I always find it funny. If you've ever been to General Assembly, and I've been to many of them, you go to this place where there are Nazarenes from all over the world. And I mean all over the world. It's really an awesome thing to see. That Sunday service when we take communion together with people from all over the world, that is beautiful, right? But what I always find so funny is that when you go to that thing, it's inevitable. You run into the people you know. You're always running into the people that you know. And you're thinking, how am I surrounded by all of these people from all over the world? And I run into my Sunday school teacher from the second grade. You know, like, how is that possible that we do this? And so that's a beautiful family that we have of people that are praying and working together for one mission. But don't we want more people to be a part of it? Don't we want more people to be a part of that kind of family? And so because of that, we've got to branch off. We've got to leave a little bit, and we've got to go out and invite new people into the circle. And you know what? We can't just expect that they're going to come in and join us, right? We've got to go join them. We have to go where they are, enter into their world, and we need to make new friends, right? We need to make new friends. We need to meet new people, and we need to share the love of Jesus with them. And when we do that, I can guarantee you, when they come to know Jesus, they're going to do the same thing. And then those people are going to do the same thing, and they're going to do the same thing. And if as believers that are growing and multiplying in that way, we all continuously keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, oh, there will be unity, and there will be growth, and there will be beauty, and we will see the kingdom of heaven begin to happen here on earth. You know, this is our calling, right? To love God, to love others. And there is a lot of work to be done in the kingdom, and there is not a lot of time to do it. We have to work in a sense of urgency. And you think, well, people always say that. You know, people always say there's not a lot of time. Well, the truth is, we're, as individual people, we're not here for a very long period of time. You know, we only have this small little window of time in our life that we get to affect change here and now. And we have to take advantage of it. We can't waste even a second because it's so fleeting. And so our job is so urgent. And so we can't wait around thinking, well, in a couple of years when I'm ready, or maybe next week I'll do that. No, we've got to do it today, this afternoon, tomorrow, next week. We have to do it daily. We need to be intentional about seeking out others and loving them the way that Jesus would. We need to fix our eyes on Jesus and go the way he was going, right? If we stay on that journey together, we are going to have unity. We will have the same goal in mind. We will be imitators of Christ, continually seeking him together, equipping people for works of service, while also being equipped for works of service ourselves, right? And so this is our last Sunday in this prayer focus. But I believe because of the intentional prayers of the people, of you, of me, of our brothers and sisters in the USA and Canada, maybe even people around the world that have caught wind of this prayer focus, I believe because of that, this is just the start of something new and exciting. I believe that this is just the start of a renewal and a resurgence, and that we are going to begin to see new things happening in the church around the world, and that we will see the kingdom multiply. I believe because of the intentional prayers that we have been praying that we will begin to see multiplication in the kingdom. So this morning, what I want us to do is before we take communion, and you'll notice that we have the cups of communion up here because I want us to take communion together this morning. I want us to take it at the same time. And so before you come forward to get your elements, there's going to be some music playing, and you can come forward and get your elements and go back to your seat. But I want you to spend some time in prayer, right? I want you to pray intentional prayers. I want you to begin to pray prayers asking for unity. Asking for unity in the body of Christ. And asking as a result of that unity and us following after Jesus that we would be people that are equipped. People that are equipped to serve in the kingdom and do what it is that God is calling us to do. I want you to pray that our eyes would remain fixed on Jesus. That would keep our eyes fixed on him so that we would begin to be able to fulfill our mission of making disciples of all the nations. So